At the end of our evening together, after we have shared the Lord's Supper and rich fellowship with each other, I will be at a table out in the lobby there. I am a certified hugger. I give great Texas-size hugs. So if you are in need of a hug, and I don't accost people, you have to ask for the hug. I don't just lay them on you. But if you would like a hug, just come and say, I came for the hug, and I'll give you one. And I'm a good hugger. I really am a good hugger. There are also some items for sale on the table. I'll tell you about three of them. There are others, but I'll just tell you about three of them. A couple of years ago at the great Willow Creek Church outside Chicago, I addressed 3,000 artists. These were people involved in the worship arts, singers, songwriters, dancers, instrumentalists, lighting people, technicians, anybody involved in the liturgical arts. And I was given the privilege of addressing them, and I wrote an address called A Look Inside the Artist's Mind. Those of us who are artistic are really differently wired. I think you'll agree. If you are not one such person, you might live with one or know one, and we are just simply different. We color outside the lines. We are just different people. And so this might help you understand the artist in your life. A Look Inside the Artist's Mind. These albums have both the CD and the DVD in them, so you don't have to choose formats. There is another album back there called Sulking in the Sunlight. It is an exposition of Jonah chapter 4. You remember that when Jonah went to Nineveh, finally, reluctantly, he preached, and he preached such a convicting sermon that the Bible says the entire city of Nineveh repented. I would think if you're a preacher, that's a good day. But Jonah was so spiritually smug that instead of celebrating, he went out, sat under a tree, and said to God, see, that's why I didn't want to come here, because you are gracious, and I knew if I came here and preached, you would save these people. Just kill me now. I would rather die than see them spiritually alive. Yow. I suggest in the sermon that when we should be celebrating, we are sulking. Some of us have friends and relatives who are not believers, and the only thing we have to hold over them is the fact that we are walking with God and they're not. And then they come to faith. And now, doggone it, we have to treat them like equals and fellow heirs of the promises of God. And sometimes it ticks us off when people come to faith. So we want to be able to say to them, well, you really need to walk with God. And then when they do, we get a little annoyed. Sulking in the sunlight might be a sermon you'd like to get. And the least expensive item on this table and the most fun to produce is a little booklet of table prayers. How many of you say a prayer before each meal? That's a Christian tradition. I thank you, both of you. All right. This is a collection of 31 table graces that I wrote because I was embarrassed by my table prayers. Then I thought since I was a musician, I would set them all to familiar tunes. So I'll sing one from day 13. I just have the title of the name of the tune at the top of the page. If you don't know these tunes, many of them are hymn tunes, some of them folk tunes, such as Home, Home on the Range, Battle Hymn of the Republic, Old MacDonald Had a Farm, other stuff like that. Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I'll give you one from day 13, which is set to the tune Ode to Joy, or Hymn to Joy, or Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. This is what you sing before your meal. Meat, potatoes, fruit, and veggies, all things come from God above. Creatures, living soil, giving demonstrations of God's love. Every item on this table came to us not by our hand, but by thy full gracious giving, God of field and fertile land. So if you've been needing to freshen your table, I would highly recommend this volume to you. All right, let me get to the Word of God. If you are able, would you please stand as I read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, the second and third verses only. Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3, I read from the New International Version. After I read, I will hold up the Bible and say, "This is the word of the Lord." And I'd like you with equal enthusiasm to say, "Thanks be to God." Matthew 8, 2 and 3 from the NIV. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. While I have no interest in being a leper, I would like very much to be a man who in his affliction is a worshiper. Even in his sickness, this man believed that Jesus' power would be efficacious for him. I admire him. After all, the law said that he shouldn't even be around people. He should stay on the edges of his community, geographically, physically, and if he even heard that somebody might be getting near him, he was supposed to cry, "Unclean, unclean," so they wouldn't contaminate themselves by being near or touching a leper. But this guy thinks, "I need to get near Jesus." You know, sometimes sickness can weigh so heavily on you that you lose all hope. Some of you are there now. Some of you, even at 20 years of age, are dealing with some dreaded disease, some malady that is slowly eating away at your body, your vitality. Sometimes your vocabulary is stripped of phrases such as, "Tomorrow, maybe things will be better." Or, "I know I'll recover in time." Sometimes you can't even bring yourself to say that. In fact, sometimes life puts you in a position where all you can say is, I have nothing to look forward to. Sometimes you're so desperate that you say, "I have nothing to lose. I might as well take a risk. It could not possibly be worse than it is right now." That's the leper in this narrative. He could have been rebuffed by Jesus. He could have been interrogated by Jesus' handlers, who could have said to him, "I'm sorry, you cannot get up close to the master right now." But I picture him as one who has run out of options. And he figures, "Why not? I might as well take a risk. The worst they could say is get out of here. The worst they could say is get away, and I'm away already." But if there is any hope for him at all, it is in this charismatic carpenter's son turned rabbi. Now, the setup is perfect. The leper, he's very smooth, doesn't ask for healing directly. Did you notice it in the text? He suggests that all power and all volitional prerogative lies with Jesus. Listen to him. "If you will, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you could turn my circumstances around, Jesus." That's pretty smooth, isn't it? He doesn't say, "Lord, heal me." This is where could and would meet. He knows that his need must intersect with Jesus' willingness. In fact, I've titled this sermon, "When If Meets Can." Here's what the leper says. I know you could heal me. I'm just not sure you would heal me. But if you would, if you're willing, I could be made whole. Now, Jesus has a few options himself, doesn't he? He could reject the beggar and move on. He could simply heal the man and move on. He could do what I would do. I'd get some mileage out of the scenario. I'd create a spectacle and attach a bit of teaching time to the miracle. All right, now, I'm going to do a little teaching, get their attention. Then I'm going to have you come up, and I'll take care of you. I do a little teaching. I bring leprous Larry, or whatever his name is, come up. Have you and I ever spoken at length before? No. Did I make you any promises before the meeting began? No. You and I never did discuss any promises of healing? No. In the name of my Father God, come out, foul spirit of leprosy. Yay! And I push him down to the floor. He'd rise up, whole. I receive an offering and then move on. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus acts and then makes a short statement. And both the action and the statement are pregnant with theological implication. Come here, let me show it to you in the text. In Mark's version of the story, Mark says that Jesus, in Mark 1, says that Jesus was filled with compassion. Our text in the Matthean version says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. There's the action. And I'm guessing this man hasn't been touched for a long time. He's dealing with a disease that was not unlike AIDS. In the early 80s, people were just beginning to discover this dreaded disease. People thought you could catch AIDS if you hugged a person with AIDS. In the early days, probably of cancer detection, there are people who probably thought I could catch cancer if I touch a person with advanced cancer. I'm guessing this man hadn't been touched for a long time, and Jesus touches him. Now, don't miss this. This is a great action. Jesus knows exactly what you need. When Jesus was ministering, sometimes he spoke a word and a person was healed. In fact, in the story following this one, let me show it to you. There was a centurion, a leader, a man of authority. And this man said to Jesus in verse 6, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. And the centurion said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Verse 13, so Jesus said to the centurion, go. It will be done just as you believed it would, and his servant was healed at that very hour. So Jesus doesn't even need to go to your house. He doesn't even need to be in your town to do his mighty work. Sometimes he just said a word, and people were healed. Other times he simply touched a person. This man receives the touch of Jesus because Jesus knows this man hasn't been touched in a long time. He knows the ones who need physical contact. Sometimes you need a hug. Sometimes you need physical contact. I'm very, very physical with my 16-year-old son. I hug my son and kiss my son every single day I'm in town without shame, because I think hugs are therapeutic. I don't want my son to have to go way back in his memory. When was the last time your father told you he loved you or hugged you? Man, I can't even remember. I'm not sure my father ever hugged me.
I knew he loved me, but he never said it.
There's not going to be any of that nonsense in my house. My son will say, well, that would have been last night. Well, that would have been about an hour ago, he could say. I spoke to him today on the phone, told him I loved him. If I'd been there, I would have been hugging him. Jesus knows sometimes some of you need a hug. And if you'll allow him, you will sense the embrace of Jesus. I want to suggest that this leper needs a touch and a word. So Jesus touches him. And then Jesus says, I will, or I am willing. Now remember, this is the simple request of the man. Actually, the leper made a statement. He said, if you're willing, I could be cleansed. I could be healed. And Jesus touches him and then makes this statement, I am willing. Be clean. That's it. Wow. At the place where human desperation meets divine volition, at that intersection, there is your miracle. Where the desperation of the human condition meets the willingness and the ability of Jesus. At that very intersection, there is your miracle. Several years ago, I read a book by Frank Tillipaw called Unleashing the Church, subtitled Getting People Out of the Fortress and Into Ministry. And Frank Tillipaw was a pastor in Denver at the time he wrote the book. And he said that he had a phrase around the church he pastored. Here was the phrase. And this is what he told all his people. If the question is ministry, the answer is yes. If the question is ministry, the answer is yes. Now, we still have to talk about who's going to lead it, who's going to fund it, where is it going to meet, what kinds of resources will it need. But he said, whenever a person came to me with a ministry idea, I would tell them, if the question is ministry, the answer is yes. The default answer is always yes. That's what I see here in this text with Jesus. If the question is wholeness, the answer is yes. If the question is deliverance, the answer is yes. And you and I are only here because of the I will of God in Christ. He wills that we live. He wills that we prosper. He wills that we grow. He wills that we be delivered. He wills that we be made whole. He wills that we be transformed. He wills that we respond to divine initiative. I will, he says, I will. I don't know what kind of answer the leper thought he might get from Jesus, but if the question is wholeness, the answer from Jesus is always yes. Now, exactly how he will do that might be open to discussion, but he desires to transform his people, and he transforms people who want to be transformed. He wills that we be delivered from our afflictions, our addictions, our frictions, fictions, constrictions, predilections, any of our other ictions. He wills that we thrive. I will, says the master. He's still saying it now. And in that moment, the hopeless leper is healed because Jesus says, I will. Now, I checked this out just this afternoon on my way here. I preached in Grand Rapids this morning, and on my way over here, I did some checking. And I was reminded, this is a fact. I just checked this afternoon. This is fresh off the presses. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Just checked that this afternoon. Since that is true, then the power that was available to the leper is available to you and me, since he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, if Christ were to change, I couldn't make that promise. But since Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, whatever he did in the life of that leper, he can do in your life. You can bring your brokenness, you can bring your outrageous, profane, rebellious lies, and you can bring them to Jesus and say to him, if you will, I could get out of this mess. And I hear Jesus saying, if the question is deliverance, the answer is yes. He is here among us now. If you will, I could be made whole, says this leper. The hand that healed the leper is available today.
The power that arrested the spread of some dreaded malady is available to us today. He still heals. I believe in healing. And how does he do it? Well, in this text, the man was immediately healed, says the end of verse 3. Sometimes God heals us immediately, instantaneously. Other times he works through doctors and heals us through medical technology and the gifted hands of men and women. Sometimes he heals us by death. Her name was Florence. She was a beloved member of the church I pastored in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the 80s. One day, Florence Diggs, in her 50s, came to me and she said, "Pastor Farmer, I have cancer." Oh, it's like a blow to me. It's as if someone had hit me in the chest. We prayed together. And then over the next several months, I watched Florence Diggs deal with her cancer. And we prayed for her healing. Eventually, Florence Diggs went home to be with Jesus. Faithful follower of Jesus she was. I got a call about 2 o'clock in the morning from her daughter. "Mama's gone." I said, don't let them take her body yet. And I went over there. I held her hand, stroked her forehead. She was a beloved member of our congregation. At her funeral, which we call in our African-American tradition a home-going service, if a person has faithfully walked with Jesus, it's a celebration. It is not very mournful. It is a celebration. We call it a home-going service. And so when Florence went home to be with the Lord, we had a home-going service at our church. And I stood up on the morning of that home-going service, and I said, "Well, God answered our prayers. Florence is healed, just not in the way we had hoped. But she now does not have cancer. And she is now in a better place." And I said, "And she is now in better condition." Then I leaned over and I said, "And quite frankly, she's in better company." How does God heal? Sometimes instantaneously, sometimes through doctors, sometimes by death. But this same Jesus who healed this man is available for your healing tonight. What a glorious truth. The one who heard and responded to this leper's one-liner, "If you can, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This same Jesus is here among us. So will you welcome his power? Will you seek his deliverance? He can make us every bit whole as he did this leper. What more could we possibly ask? Let us pray. We thank you, great Lord, for your power now available to your people. We praise you for your immutability. Thank you that you do not change. Thou who wast with this man art with us. And we rejoice in you. I pray for those who are dealing with sicknesses of any kind, spiritual, physical. Pray that you would do your mighty work and that we would be open to your touch. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.